Good evening and welcome to the Arthur Ludlow Memorial Baths, Newport, for this year's finals of the All England Summer Ice Proust competition. As you may remember, each contestant has to give a brief summary of Proust's A la Recherche du Temps Perdu, once in a swimsuit and once in evening dress. The field has now narrowed to three finalists, and your judges tonight are Alec and Eric Bedser, ex-Surrey cricketers, Stuart Surridge, ex-captain of Surrey, Omar Sharif, Laurie Fishlock, ex-Surrey opening batsman, Peter May, the former Surrey and England captain, and Yehudi Menuhin, the world-famous violinist and the president of the Surrey Cricket Club. And right now, it's time to meet your host for tonight, Arthur Mee.
Good evening and welcome. Well, as Klaus would say, la malade imaginaire de recondition et de toute surveillance est bientôt la même chose. Remember, each contestant this evening has a maximum of 15 seconds to summarize à la recherche du temps perdu, and on the proustometer here, you can see exactly how far he gets. So let's crack straight on with our first contestant tonight. He's last year's semi-finalist from Luton, Mr. Harry Bagot. There's the summarising spot. You want the summarising spot? 15 seconds from now.
The Proust novel ostensibly tells it of the irrevocability of time lost, the forfeiture of innocence through experience, the reinstallment of extratemporal values of time regained. Ultimately, the novel is both optimistic and set within the context of a humane religious experience, restating as it does the concept of intemporality. In the first volume, Swan, the family friend...
Well tried, darling.
Unfortunately, he chose a general appraisal of the work before getting onto the story. And as you can see, he only got as far as page one of Swan's Way, the first of the seven volumes. A good try, though, and very nice posture.
Harry Bagot, you're from Luton?
Yes, Arthur, yes.
Now, Harry, what made you first want to try and start summarising Proust?
Well, I first entered a seaside summarising Proust competition when I was on holiday in Bournemouth, and my doctor encouraged me with it.
And, Harry, what are your hobbies outside summarising?
Well, golf and strangling animals.
Well, there he goes, Harry Bagot. He must have let himself down a bit on the hobbies. Golf's not very popular around here. But never mind, a good try.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rutherford from Leicester. Are you ready, Ronald? Yeah. Right, that's a summarising spot. Right. You've got 15 seconds from now.
There's this house. It's in the morning. No, it's in the evening. And there's a garden. This block comes in. What's his name? Oh, God, just said it. Big block. Swan! Oh, no.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to welcome the last of our All England finalists this evening. From Bingley, the Bolton Choral Society and their leader, Superintendent McGough. All right, Bingley, remember, you've got 15 seconds to summarise Proust in their entirety. Starting from now.
Proust in his first book wrote about. Very ambitious try there, but in fact the least successful of the evening. They didn't even get as far as the first volume.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think any of our contestants this evening have succeeded in encapsulating the intricacies of Proust's masterwork. So I'm going to award the first prize this evening to the girl with the biggest tits.
Everest. Forbidding, aloof, terrifying. The mountain with the biggest tits in the world.
Start again.
Mount Everest. Forbidding, aloof, terrifying. This year, this remote Himalayan mountain, this mystical temple, surrounded by the most difficult terrain in the world, repulsed yet another attempt to conquer it. This time by the International Hairdressers Expedition. In such freezing adverse conditions, man comes very close to breaking point. What was the real cause of the disharmony which destroyed their chances of success?
Well, people keep taking a hairdryer and every turn.
There's a lot of bitching in the tents.
You couldn't get near the mirror.
The leader of the expedition was Colonel Sir John Teasy-Weasy Butler, veteran of K2, Annapurna, and Vidal. His plan was to ignore the usual route round the South Col and to make straight for the top.
Well, we established base salon here and climbed quite steadily up to Mario's hair. From here, using crampons and cutting ice steps as we went, we moved steadily up the Lhotse face to the North Ridge, establishing Camp 3 where we could get a hot meal, a manicure and a shampoo and set.
Could it work? Could this 18-year-old hairdresser from Brixton succeed where others had failed? The situation was complicated by the imminent arrival of the monsoon storms. Patrice takes up the story.
Well, we knew as well as anyone that the monsoons were due. But the thing was, Ricky and I just had a blow, dry and rinse. And we couldn't go out for a couple of days.
After a blazing row, the Germans and Italians had turned back, taking with them the last of the hairnets. On the third day, a blizzard blew up. Temperatures fell to minus 30 centigrade. Inside the little tent, things were getting desperate.
Well, things have got so bad that we've been forced to use the last of the heavy oxygen equipment just to keep the dryers going.
I know now.
Oh, she's a treasure.
But a new factor had entered the race. A team of French chiropodists, working with brand new corn plasters and Dr. Scholl's mountaineering sandals, were cutting ground fast. The Glasgow Orpheus Male Voice Choir were tackling the difficult North Pole. Altogether, 14 expeditions were at his heels. This was it. Ricky had to make a decision.
Well, he decided to open a salon.
It was a tremendous success.
Challenging Everest? Why not drop in at Ricky Pule's, only 24,000 feet from this cinema? Ricky and Maurice offer a variety of styles for the well-groomed climber. Like Sherpa Tenzing and Sir Edmund Hillary, be number one on top when you're number one on top.
This cinema is proud to present 20th Century Frog's production, A Magnificent Mastering.
James.
Beatrice. Beatrice.
Oh, James, I could make such a fool of myself over you.
Oh, Beatrice, do, do.
Oh, yes, James, yes.
James,
I could make such a fool of myself over you.
Oh, Beatrice, do, do.
Oh, yes, James, yes.
Hey!
Shut up.
Is that the fire brigade?
No, sorry, wrong number.
That phone's not stopped ringing all day.
What happens when you mix the powder? Do you dice the ham with the coriander?
No, you put them in separately when the vine leaves are ready.
Oh, no, not again.
Take it off the hook.
I can't get the fire brigade, Mervyn.
Yeah, let me try. You go and play the cello.
Oh, it doesn't do any good, dear.
Look, do you want that little hamster to live or not?
Yes, I do, Mervyn.
Well, go and play the cello. Hello? Hello, operator? Yes, we're trying to get the fire brigade. No, the fire brigade. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. What? Sorry, sir. Yes, 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 yes. No, of course not. Yes.
He's gone, dear.
What?
He slipped away.
What?
Sonny Axter's dead!
Oh, no! What were you playing?
Some Mozart concertos, dear.
What? Did he...
His eyes just closed and he fell into the waste paper box. I covered him with a copy of the Charlie George football book.
Yeah. You hang on, I must go and see him.
There was nothing we could do, Mervyn. If we'd had the old Philharmonic Orchestra in there, it'd still have gone.
I'm going upstairs. I can't bear it.
There isn't an upstairs, dear. It's a bungalow.
Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. It's just that... size three. It's just we've lost a dear one, and my son was... yes, that's right, size 8, yes. And, oh, I see. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I see. Yes, yes, I... yes, oh, yes, no, no, yes, I see. They can't get the fire brigade, Mervyn. Well, the boys' brigade do.
No, they'd be useless!
No, he doesn't want anyone at the moment, thank you. No. Yes. Yes, no, thank you for trying. Yes. Yes. No, saxones. Yes. Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Mummy!
Oh, Mervyn! Mervyn! Look, it's our Eamon. Oh, let me know. Oh, really looking. Tell me, how is it in Dublin?
Well, things is pretty bad there at the moment. But there does seem some hope of a constitutional settlement.
Oh, don't talk. Let me just look at you.
Great to be home, Mummy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I must just go upstairs and get your room ready.
It's a bungalow, Mummy.
Mervyn, look who's here. It's our Eamon. Come back to see us.
Hello, Eamon.
Hello, Marv.
How was Dublin?
Well, as I was telling Mummy here, things is pretty bad there at the moment. But there does seem some hope of a constitutional settlement.
Hello? Yes? 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 What? What? Size 7. Yes. 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 It's the fire brigade. They want to know if they can come round Thursday evening.
Oh, no. First is the industrial relations bill dinner dance. Can we make it another day?
Hello? No. Thursday's right out! Yes. 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 Yes.
And so it was that the fire brigade eventually came round on a Friday night.
I'm so glad you could come. What would you like to drink? Gin and tonic, sherry?
Oh, a drop of sherry would love one, please. Do you like being called out at these little parties? They're much better than pies.
Yeah? Yes? Yes.
Well, how was Dublin, Eamon?
Well, as I was telling Mummy and Mervyn earlier, things is pretty bad there at the moment. But there does seem some hope of a constitutional...
Look at them enjoying themselves.
You know, I used to dread parties until I watched Party Hints by Veronica. I think it's on now.
Last week on Party Hints, I showed you how to make a small plate of goulash go around 26 people, how to get the best out of your canapés, and how to unblock your loo. This week, I'm going to tell you what to do if there's an armed communist uprising near your home when you're having a party. Honestly, it'll depend how far you've got with your party when the signal for red revolt is raised. If you're just having preliminary aperitifs of Dubonnet, a sherry, or a sparkling white wine, then your guests will obviously be in a fairly formal mood, and it'll be difficult to tell which are the communist agitators. So the thing to do is to get some cloth and some bits of old paper, put it down on the floor, and shoot everybody. This will deal with the red menace on your own doorstep. If you're having canapés, as I showed you last week, or an outdoor barbecue, then the thing to do is to set fire to all the houses in the street. This will stir up anti-communist hatred, and your neighbours will be right with you as you organise counter-revolutionary terror. So you see, if you act promptly enough, any left-wing uprising can be dealt with by the end of the party. Bye.
Ah, she's finally gone away. All right, comrades, time to go to work. Hello, we are selling communist revolutions. Would you by any chance be interested?
Oh, yes. I'll take 1,000, please.
Right. Communist revolutions coming up.
I get it. Communist revolution. That's a good one. Boom.
You disgusting little piece of filth. God, I hate you. You make me want to puke my guts out.
Wasn't that cute? Remember, you two can get your own putrid Peter doll in time to pacify your next party. But why stop there? Why not get a Barry Bigot doll, too? Just watch this.
Black people. Black people. Rhodesian. Kill the blacks. Kill the blacks. Rhodesian. Smith. Smith, kill the blacks within the five principles.
Please, I get a comment on that. Could it have been officially hushed up?
This is our politician's
While brothers. There is no undue Let cause for concern, there is certainly no room for complacency.
I'll go to the foot of our stairs. E, ecky thump. Put wood in all, mother.
Yes, sir.
E, ecky thump. E, ecky thump.
E, ecky thump.
E, ecky thump.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
So very quick method of learning.
Can you smell gas or is it me?
Looks jolly good.
Hello, big boy. Ooh, part of the Ome. You want a nice time?
Very good.
And we control everything from here.
Superb.
Well, what sort of thing were you looking for?
Well, really, something to make me a little less insignificant.
Oh, I see. Sort of, Now, look here. You may be chairman, but your bloody pusillanimous behaviour makes me vomit.
No, sort of thing? No, not really.
Oh, I see. Well, perhaps something a bit more sort of Clive Jenkins-ish, perhaps
what's
sort
that?
Of...
Mr. Smarmy, so-called Harold Wilson, can call himself pragmatic until he's blue in the breasts.
Really, I really want something that will make people be attracted to me, like a magnet.
Oh, I see. Well, you want our life and soul of the party tape, then, I think.
What's that?
Well, it's sort of, Hello, Squire. Haven't seen you for a bit. Haven't seen you for a bit either, Beryl. Oh, 2 pints of wallop, please, love. Still driving the Jensen, then? Cheer up, Jack. It may never happen. What's your poison, then?
Fantastic, yes.
Right. Well, I think we've got the tape.
Operator, is that the same to my dear? Make a million number 9. One behind is the operator, that'll do the song. So come on, everybody, let's sing this song.
Roast
Roost in his first book wrote about...
Roost in his butt.
Start again.
Mount Everest. Forbidding, aloof, terrifying. The highest place on earth.
No, I'm sorry, we don't go there.
No. Morning. Oh, good morning. Do you want to go upstairs?
What?
Do you want to go upstairs? Or have you come to arrange a holiday?
To arrange a holiday.
Oh, sorry.
What's all this about going upstairs?
Oh, nothing. Now, where were you thinking of going?
India.
Ah, one of our adventure holidays.
Yes.
Well, you better speak to Mr. Bounder about that. Mr. Bounder, this gentleman is interested in the India Overland.
Ah, good morning. I'm Bounder of Adventure.
Morning. My name is Smoke Too Much.
What?
My name is Smoke Too Much. Mr. Smoke Too Much.
Well, you'd better cut down a bit then.
What?
You'd better cut down a bit then.
Oh, I see. I cut down a bit for Smoke Too Much.
Yes. I suppose you get people making jokes about your name all the time, eh?
No. Actually, it never struck me before. Smoke Too Much.
Anyway, you're interested in one of our adventure holidays, eh?
Yes. I saw your advert in the Buller supplement.
What?
The Buller supplement.
The colour supplement.
Yes, I'm sorry, I can't say the letter B.
C.
Yes, that's right. It's all due to a trauma I suffered when I was a schoolboy. I was attacked by a bat.
A cat?
No, a bat.
Can you say the letter K?
Oh, yes. Khaki, King, Kettle, Q8, Keeble, Bollage, Oxford.
You say the letter K instead of the letter C.
What do you mean, spell Buller with a K?
Yes.
Colour?
Yes.
Oh. That's very good. I never thought of that. Well, I saw your adverts in the paper, and I've been on package tour several times, you see, and I decided that this was for me.
Oh, good.
Yes, I quite agree with you. I mean, what's the point of being treated like a sheep? I mean, I'm fed up of going abroad being treated like a sheep. What's the point of being carted around in buses surrounded by sweaty, mindless apes from Kettering and Boventry? Their cloth caps and their cardigans and their transistor radios and their Sunday mirrors complaining about the tea, or they don't make it properly here, do they not like it home? Stopping at Majorcan Bodega, selling fish and chips and Watney's Red Barrel and Calamaris and Two Veg. Sitting in cotton sunfrocks, squirting Timothy White sun cream all over their puffy, raw, swollen, purulent flesh because they overdid it on the first day.
Absolutely, yes, I got it.
And being herded into endless hotel Miramars and Bellevues and Bonte Ventars with their international luxury modern roomettes and their Watney's Red Barrel and their swimming pools full of fat German businessmen pretending to be acrobats and forming pyramids. Frying with the children, barging into the queues, and if you're not at your table spot on seven, you miss your bowl of Campbell's cream and mushroom soup, the first item on the menu of international cuisine. And every Thursday night, there's bloody cabaret in the bar, which is a tiny emaciated dago with 9-inch hips and some big fat bloated tart with her hair bilking down and a big ass presented to them. And then surrounded by adenoidal typists from Birmingham with diarrhea and flabby white legs, hairy bandy leg, what waiters call Manuel. And then once a week there's an excursion to the local Roman ruins where you can buy cherryade and melted ice cream and bleeding Watney's Red Barrel. They take you to a local restaurant with local colour and rat colouring, and they show you then you sit next to a party of people from Rill who keep singing Torre Molinos, Torre Molinos, and complaining about the food. Oh, it's so greasy, isn't it? And then you get cornered by some drunken greengrocer from Luton with an Instamatic and Dr. Skull sandals and he drones on and on and on about how Mr. Smith should be running this country and
quiet,
how
please.
Many languages Enoch Powell can speak, and he throws up all over the Cuba leaders. Sending tinted postcards of places they don't know they haven't even visited to all at number 22, Weather Wonderful, our room marked with an X.
Shut
wishing
up.
We're here. Food very greasy, but we have managed to find this marvellous little place hidden away in the back
seat. Shut up!
Where you can get Watney's Red Barrel and cheese.
Shut up!
And the accordionist place, mate.
Shut your bloody gob! I'm going to leave the place!
Nothing to eat but dried Watney's sandwiches.
Oh, take it off the hook.
And there's nowhere to sleep, and the kids are vomiting and throwing up on the plastic flowers. We need to leave. It'll only be another hour, though you know your place is still in ice and waiting.
The police! Yes.
Boy, he comes to pick you up all the time.
No, no, no.
when you get to Malaga Airport, everybody's swallowing into a biofilm tank.
No, no, a peel bar at the Mitchum
Branch. There's no water in the tap, there's no water in the pool, there's no water in the bar.
At the Mitchum Branch.
There's a lizard in the bee.
Yes, yes.
And he can't sleep anyway.
I'm going to love anymore.
Here they are. Right. Just here, we'll do fine. Bye-bye.
Good evening. I have with me tonight an elk, Mrs. An Elk. Miss. You have a new theory about the Brontosaurus.
Well, can I just say here, Chris, for one moment, that I have a new theory about the Brontosaurus.
Exactly. What is it? I mean, your new theory.
Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
Oh, what is my theory that it is? Well, Chris, you may well ask me what is my theory.
I am asking.
Good for you. My word, yes. Well, Chris, what is it that it is, this theory of mine? Well, this is what it is. My theory that I have, that is to say, which is mine, is mine.
Yes, now, I know it's yours. What is it?
Where? What is my... This is it. My theory that belongs to me is as follows. This is how it goes. The next thing I'm going to say is my theory. Ready? My theory by A.L. brackets, Miss brackets. This theory goes as follows and begins now. All brontosauruses are thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and then thin again at the far end. That is my theory. It is mine and belongs to me, and I own it and what it is too.
That's it, is it?
Spot on, Chris.
Well, Anne, this theory of yours appears to have hit the nail on the head.
And it's mine.
Yes. Thank you very much for coming along to the studio.
Thank you. My pleasure, Chris.
Next week, Britain's newest...
It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you very much.
Saying newest what my theory is.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And whose it is.
Yes, thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Opens I have another theory yes. called my second theory.
Thank you.
Or my theory number two.
Britain's newest...
Which I could expand if I was asked. This second theory,
yes.
which, with the one that yes. I have said, forms
no,
the
look,
brace
I'm
of theories that I own and which are mine and which belong to me, the
only half wise
time goes like this.
Valleys of Bond Street. What? That's the proof.
This is what it is. Yes. This is no, what it is.
I was 8.5 seconds.
Hello?
Yes. Yes. Promises you that the raging cholera epidemic is nearly.
The fire brigade are here! Oh, they're coming!
Yes. Rather yes. than the large outbreak of Spanish tummy in 1660, which killed half of London.
I think they're all part of the British Shoe Corporation.
Chris, this other theory that you had, that other one, that I hear, I've got one now. The second theory. Choirs seldom sing songs about Marcel Proust.
Start again.